All right. Hey, everybody. It's Sam Stye, managing editor of The Bulwark, joined by Arthur Delaney, a fan favorite from HuffPost. He's up on the hill, as you can tell by the tight confines of where he's sitting. And we're going to be talking about the government shutdown. Artie, what's going on, man?
The government shut down, but I'm still at the Capitol. We're still doing stuff over here. This part of the government's still open.
What number shutdown is this for you?
I'm not sure. There've been some like really dinky ones. And people wondering if this will be a big one or not. Don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, I asked that because I remember my first shutdown. It was in the Obama era and shutdown fight, I should say. And it was like a big deal. Like people were freaking out and running around and really like concerned about the possibility of the shutdown. And this doesn't feel like that. This feels almost like a matter of course.
I agree. I think just through sheer repetition, the drama is much less this time, even though the effects are significant, just like they were in the previous times. Like we've done this before.
Yeah. All right. So set the stakes. Like it's 3 o'clock. It's Wednesday. We've been shut down for 15 hours now. Where do negotiations stand and what are the sticking points?
There are no negotiations.
No, that's not true. There's talks.
Well, yeah, there's like a few senators were huddling on the Senate floor and, you know, we could all see them. So we're like, ooh, what were you talking about? And the Republicans or, you know, Mike Rounds, the senator from North Dakota was like, yeah, well, we're not going to negotiate while the government's shut down. Like, what? But we saw you. We saw you talking.
What is the distinction between a talk and a negotiation?
I don't know. It's something that won't be done as publicly as that. But Democrats need a way to climb down. They definitely are the ones who precipitated this by not voting for a clean government funding bill, you know, which they've always said is what you got to do. That said, I mean, they are a part of the process.
Republicans, yeah, it sounds like you're blaming the Democrats here.
I mean, Democrats are part of the process. They do need to vote in order to get something through the Senate. And Senate Republicans were just like, screw you guys. They made no effort to get them along. Even as they say, we agree with you that we should do something about the expiring Obamacare subsidies. To be fair to Democrats, this is like the biggest thing happening in federal healthcare policy for years to come. Like it's not, you know, they picked this fight, but they did pick it on a big topic where they happen to have very favorable polling.
Right. So the premiums are going to shoot up because the subsidies are expiring at the end of the year, but insurers have to set the premiums in anticipation of what they imagine the marketplace to be. So this is happening. It's a big deal. I guess you would know this better than I do because you're up there. But like, for me, obviously that's the more favorable terrain. But like, to me, it seems like the more logical reason to say we're not going to give you our votes, Democrats, to say that, is because of rescissions. So in essence, what's happening is that they're making these bipartisan agreements about spending, but then on a party line vote, Republicans are doing those agreements. So like that to me sucks out all the reason for Democrats to partake in a negotiation. But I don't really hear many Democrats offering that up as their reason for not voting for a bill. Am I missing something?
No, you're right. Rescissions, it doesn't get on TV. If you're here talking to them a lot, it does come up a lot. And it is one of their main side justifications for what they're doing. It's not just that Republicans, you know, did a funding deal in March and then on partisan basis undid it. The administration also unilaterally undid several billion dollars in foreign aid funding. So yeah. Your Democrats have pointed out repeatedly, we're supposed to agree to a deal that you then don't honor.
What the fuck?
Right. So, yeah, that is part of it. I've been hearing that today. But like, I don't think people out there care too much about that. It's like arguing about democracy and checks and balances, which I guess is deemed too abstract.
I guess. But
yeah.
If I were your editor still, and I like made you do a story, and then I just rewrote all the story, you would stop doing story. No, you would continue
stories. You just described
the process. What is the so the other thing that's happening today is that Russ Vought, OMB chief, is just going around being like, I'm not going to spend money on this blue state project. And you know what? I just decided I'm not going to do this blue state project. And like, I'm not sure he has any real authority to do that, but like, he's just doing it. And so like, what is the reaction on the hill to that?
He's also being like brazenly partisan about it. Like, I am canceling green new scam subsidies in the following states. And it's like every state that's Democratic.
I will say there were two non-states that weren't run by Democratic governors among the list, but they're like both Northeast. There's like Vermont and okay. New Hampshire.
Right. So
it's pretty obvious.
Pairs well with the argument about rescissions, which is that the administration not only does not honor us as a co-equal branch of government, but is flat out lawless.
Yeah.
You're not, these rescissions and probably these grant or project cancellations are not lawful or constitutional. And I talked to Chris Murphy from Connecticut about it, and he said, well, this just makes us want to dig in even more.
Can I suggest something? Can you just go around and ask Republican senators, like, if you were if the shoe were on the other foot and the Democratic OMB was just canceling projects and rescinding funds, like, wouldn't you not vote for an appropriations? I would be very curious to know, like, how they rationalize that.
Igor Babak and I talked to a couple of Republicans for a story we're doing Wednesday. Jim Justice, I was like, you think that I asked him, should the administration just go ahead and fire people and take other retaliatory measures to make the shutdown worse for Democrats? And he immediately was like, no, you know, people have families. He's from West Virginia, so he's got some tendencies to, not want people who rely on the government to be screwed. And Igor heard from Tom Tillis, who said this isn't the greatest idea. Republicans don't really love this aspect of it on Capitol Hill, the payback.
Yeah, no, I get that. But like, if they were asked, like, why should a Democrat vote for a funding bill that Russ Vought's just going to unilaterally undo? I'm just curious what their answer would be.
Yeah, there are Republican voices saying this is not helpful for getting us out of the shutdown. But that's obvious. That's obvious.
It's pretty lame. I want to talk about other funnier things, because it does seem like these two parties are just operating in different galaxies. So like, you and I were texting about this, but like, Trump's been putting up these racist AI videos of Hakeem Jeffries. I shouldn't laugh. Every time I laugh at the absurdity, people think I'm like laughing at with Trump, but I'm laughing at Trump. It's got a Hakeem in a sombrero. It's just racist. It's stupid. And yet the White House, like, let's just play what Caroline Leavitt said.
I think the president saw the video and posted it and then took it down. And he has the right to do that. It's his social media. He's incredibly transparent, as you all know. You hear from him directly on social media. He likes to share memes. He likes to share videos. He likes to repost things that he sees other people post on social media as well. And I think it's quite refreshing that we have a president who is so open and honest directly himself many a times on Truth. You are hearing directly from the president of the United States.
So like, as you and I described it, you have like Hakeem Jeffries, like, this is undignified behavior. This is unserious stuff. And then the White House and Trump are like, yeah, it's hilarious. Look at this guy in a sombrero. So funny. It's just, they're not working in the same world.
I take it as a hint that the shutdown will be long.
You do?
Well, Trump's the one who's got to come in and finish it. You know, Republicans work for him. They're not going to strike the deal and present it to him without some indication that he'll accept it.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And it's completely offensive stuff. He's basically, well, Hakeem Jeffries, you're a minority. All we can do is laugh at you. I think it's sometimes corny when progressives say, well, that's racist. But I honestly, what else can you say about it?
It's racist. I mean, the White House's response was, how is putting a black man in a sombrero racist? Is he offended for being called a Mexican? Isn't that racist? And it's like, come on, people. What is this stupid playground taunting shit?
Yeah. And so Jeffries is just trying to remain disciplined. And he said today, regarding the targeted cancellation of funds for New York right. infrastructure projects. Well, this is just what Donald Trump does. He kills jobs. So they are, rather than being overly personal and saying it's about democracy or divisions of government, he's saying this is more bad Trump economic policy because, economic policy is an area where Trump is losing support.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know. I kind of vacillate between wondering if they should just like do the Gavin Newsom mockery stuff, or I guess they can't because they need
to. So they did healthcare. They're doing healthcare. And I know you have Jonathan Cohn, who is very strong on this topic, but it's got the Republicans saying, well, you've shut down the government for illegal aliens.
Yeah, we have a video coming on that. Cohn did a whole piece on that. It's just bullshit.
It's not a strong talking point. It shows Republicans trying to shift to their own higher ground where they have an advantageous position. So it's another thing that I think portends a long shutdown because these two sides are digging their trenches where they feel they've got better politics.
All right. Well, I have two more questions. I'll go with my last one first because it sets it up. But like, what's your over under on how long this thing lasts?
It's hard to say because
no, you got to say. I'm not going to let you off the hook. Give me an over under.
I will say 3 weeks with the caveat that I'm making.
I'm taking the under. A
reckless guess. My reckless guess.
That's incredibly reckless. First of all, I should just let the viewers know. You're horrible at this game, if I remember correctly. You're really bad. No, you are. It's okay. You have a lot of great qualities, but this is not one of them. You're very bad at predicting things, if I remember correctly.
That's not true. I predicted that you would be rude on this interview.
Okay, one for your last 35. But I'm taking the under. I don't think it lasts 3 weeks.
The thing is, some weird thing is going to happen. Do you remember the assassination of Charlie Kirk?
Yes, I do.
It felt like a world-destroying phenomenon. And I know that we are going through the backlash to that and the clampdown on the radical left, but it still feels like it was ages ago now. Because so much crazy stuff is constantly coming out of the White House.
How long ago do you think Charlie Kirk's assassination was, if you had to guess? Don't Google.
It was 4 weeks ago?
No, three. Close. Off by week. But again, you're not very good at predicting things.
Predicting. That's the opposite of predicting.
I have taken the under. It's going to be under 3 weeks. You heard it here first. Finally, and I mean this with like some sincerity, but not much. How disadvantaged is Chuck Schumer by the fact that the alliteration just doesn't work in his favor? Schumer shutdown, it just rolls off the tongue really well. And you can't come up with an alternative for Trump or Thune. There's just no T that like lends itself to that nickname.
I thought Republicans had a strong argument that, look, Democrats rejected a clean funding bill and it's a Schumer shutdown. And that's why I'm slightly surprised that they are instead saying Democrats are trying to help illegals.
Nah, they're doing it all. But my point is Schumer shutdown. It just sounds good. And they don't have like a Johnson. What? It's like you need an alliteration. It just doesn't work.
I will say that Democrats have, they've done a lot of press conferences and stuff, and they haven't really caught lightning in a bottle. Hakeem Jeffries was trying to do a 24-hour live stream.
Yeah,
I saw that. People kept saying, oh, you have fewer people watching this than you have in the Democratic caucus.
At one point, it was like 170 concurrents. Mm-hmm. Eesh.
Yeah.
Got to do better than that.
Wouldn't know about that over here.
At the Bulwark.
Please.
I would quit my job if we had 170 concurrents. That would be a failure. All right. Well, look, I say go ask the question of those Republicans that I suggested. And if you get good answers, don't write it for HuffPost. Just come back and report to me, okay?
I'll come back. All right.
Artie Delaney, my man. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. We are sold out of tickets to all of our shows on the fall tour, except for October 8th in Washington, D.C. I was on a call yesterday planning out what we've got in store for you. It's going to be fun. obviously JVL will be there, so there'll be elements of darkness. We're also bringing in Sarah McBride for a conversation with Sarah Longwell that I'm super excited for. Maybe we might get Will Sommer up to talk about some of the crazy shit that's happening on the MAGA right. I've got some other plans in store for you, so it's not too late. Get your tickets now. Washington, D.C., October 8th. You go to thebulwark.com/events, thebulwark.com/events. I hope to see you all there. It's at the Lincoln Theater. Awesome venue. Appreciate them for hosting us. And so I hope to see you all in Washington, October 8th.